Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether here in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are grateful that you are celebrating your Labor Day weekend with us. Today is also a Communion Sunday, as you can tell. So it is. This is your first reminder, if you are a Zoomer, to please gather some communion elements from your pantry, so that you can join us in that when the time comes. We have several announcements today. One of the big ones is that two services return next week. We're going back to our 8:30 media service and 9:30 traditional service, just like it's been, and except for the first Sunday of the month, which we'll have communion and do a 9 o'clock as we've done. Penny has several announcements and Becky has several announcements, so I'm going to shut up.
You could have continued. I don't mind when you do my announcements. I have just a few. I'm going to go through them quickly. Greeters, we're starting to go back to greeters. There's a sign up in the back if you would like to. Let's just stand out there, welcome people coming in. You don't have to hold the door open or anything, but just say hi, especially if there's somebody new that you don't recognize. We've had some visitors. For offering, the deacon on duty usually asks people to do it. If you are somebody that would like to help us, the deacon on duty is always put in the newsletter, or you can ask one of the deacons, hey, are you, can I help with offering today? And we'd greatly appreciate it. Union Sunday. Pastor Jacob took most of my stuff, so I don't have to say a whole lot other than we're having a lunch potluck. Not many people have signed up. The big thing is hot dishes and maybe some side salads and a few desserts. Even if you don't sign up and you're coming, it would be great if you brought something. We'd appreciate that. And the last thing is our Instant Church directory. I'd really like to wrap it up close to the end of September, beginning of October. Next week at Reunion Sunday, I will, anybody that wants me to take their picture, their family picture, if you have your family here, I can do that. And then I can put it in. You don't have to worry about it. But I know some people have asked me, and I said it really is pretty easy if you have a picture to put it in. And they've managed it, so it's not tough. But I can do it if you would like me to. I think that's it. But if you have any questions, please see me after church, okay? Thanks.
Thanks, Penny.
Good morning. We're excited to announce the hiring of a new youth group leader. Kim Hansen is her name. She's going to start on the 25th. With that said, we need to have a second adult at each youth group session. If you would be willing to donate your time for this worthy cause, please see the sign-up sheet on the butcher block. You'll be learning more about Kim in the near future. Sunday school is starting up soon. We're always welcoming new teachers and co-teachers. Full detailed lessons are provided. So you only have to show up like 10 minutes before and read through it quick, and you'll be one step ahead of the kids. And I learned over the years that's all you need to be. It's just one step ahead. We would love to rotate more of us throughout the fall and spring semester. So if you do sign up, you're not going to have to do every single Sunday. And we'll work around your schedules. And if you could do it once or twice in the fall and once or twice in the spring is all we would ask. Thank you. Sunday school registration is also up and running. Please remember to register your children. The form can be found on our uccwapan.net website under Christian Education tab. I did recently hear from one of the parents that something's not working on there, so we're going to test it probably Tuesday morning, and we'll get that fixed and get that up and running. And shepherds, if there's any shepherds here, shepherds are basically 7th through 12th, 6th through 12th graders, anyone who's considering youth group and coming to youth group, we would like to spruce up your youth group area. See me in the fellowship hall after church if you're willing to do this, and we'll find a time that'll work for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. Are there any other announcements this morning? All right, then in that case, let us share the peace of Christ with one another.
Please stand, if you're able, for the call to worship.
Just as you sit down.
The call to worship this morning is inspired by Psalm 15. O Holy One, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? O Holy One, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? O Holy One, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Our opening hymn this morning is number 48, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
the opening prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to examine our hearts in the light of God's law. Cleanse us from the inside out, that we may follow you faithfully and bear witness to your saving grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Seated.
Are there any children with us today that want to come up? All right. Ray, you want to come up too? All right. We have two of them with us today.
Woohoo!
Let's see. You want to sit on the top step so people can see you over the communion tables? Wonderful. Oh my goodness gracious. I'll sit with you guys. Jacob, you can scoot over too.
I'll scoot over. Don't need to be so far away.
Yeah. My message today is about new beginnings. New beginnings. So this can apply to you guys.
Microphone.
Is it on? Am I on?
Oh, okay, good.
Sorry. All right. My message today is on new beginnings. We're talking about a new school year for you guys, and maybe a new work week for those out there. New school year for those that teach, or just a little refreshing 3-day weekend, Labor Day, so that you guys can get refreshed as well. Okay. So can we start? Could you say your first name and what grade you're in? John, will you be brave enough to tell them? Say John, and I'm in what grade?
John, and I'm in second grade.
Wow, second grade already? Ray, did you start school?
Oh, my name is Ray.
And you're
going to preschool. I'm
going to
go in preschool.
And Ray's going in preschool. Wonderful. That was very brave of you guys. Good job. Thanks for sharing that. So did you start school already, or you start next week?
We already started, and this is my... Tomorrow's my fourth day.
Fourth day already. Mm. How about you, Ray? Did you start preschool yet?
Not yet. I started yesterday.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. That's good. Do you guys have a new teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah? You want to tell them your teacher's name?
Miss Farron.
Miss Farron? Do you know your teacher's name?
My teacher is Miss Anna.
Can you say it once more?
Miss Anna.
Miss Jenna.
Miss Jenna is your teacher's name. Wow. Have you made some new friends this year? Yeah. You too? Wonderful. Well, this school year, like all new school years, is not just another year, right? You're not going back to the same old school with the same old teachers in the same old classroom, eating lunch in the same old cafeteria. No, everything's new, everything's different, okay? This school year is the beginning of something new. You're beginning a new year. Everything is brand new as long as you choose to see it that way. Mm. So the parents, everything is brand new at work as long as you choose to see it that way. Mm. So it applies to everyone. You know, Jesus... There's something in the Bible about Jesus and new stuff. He didn't come and say, I come so that all things can be pretty much the same old way. He didn't say that. Jesus said, I come so that all things can be new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what a new year brings, a new school year brings about for all of us. Starting fresh, starting over, and new represents Jesus, and Jesus is good. All right, Pastor Jacob, will you lead us in prayer for the new school year?
Absolutely. So you all know the drill. I will say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For new beginnings.
For new beginnings.
For new friends.
For new friends.
For new opportunities.
For new opportunities.
for new ways.
For new ways.
To share your love.
To share your love.
Wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go find Grandma.
As we prepare our hearts for the sharing of Holy Communion today, I want us to remember the ways in which our hearts need to be transformed and the new life that can come from that. So please join me in the prayer of transformation and new life. Eternal God, may we break forth from the bonds of unadulterated, unexamined, and unimaginative traditions. At the same time, may we be released from the compulsion to discount everything that has been a source of life and faithful formation across generations. Help us to discern what needs to be left in our past with honor, recognition, and gratitude, what needs to be eradicated with repentance and repair, and what needs to be envisioned, imagined, and created for the future. Amen. Beloved, the Holy One renews, redeems, and restores through continuing creative acts. God has not concluded the good work begun in you or in our faith communities. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we all receive courage, counsel, and conviction to do the new thing God is calling us to do while holding fast to things that build, sustain, and encourage. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 16 through 27. Both of the readings this morning are coming from the New Testament. And the first reading comes from the book of James using a new translation called the Inclusive Bible. Make no mistake about this, my dear sisters and brothers. Every worthwhile gift, any genuine benefit comes from above, descending from the Creator of the holy luminaries, who cannot change and is never in shadow. God willingly gave birth to us with a word spoken in truth, so that we may, as it were, be first fruits of God's creatures. Remember this, my dear sisters and brothers. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to anger. For God's justice is never served by our anger. So do away with all the filth and the last vestiges of wickedness in you. Humbly welcome the word which has been planted in you, because it has power to save you. But act on this word. Because all you do is listen to it, you're deceiving yourselves. Those who listen to God's word but do not put it into practice are like those who look into mirrors at their own faces. They look at themselves and then go off and promptly forget what they have looked like. But those who look steadily at the perfect law of freedom and make it their habit, not listening and then forgetting, but actively putting it into practice, will be blessed in all that they do. If those who do not control their tongues imagine that they are devout, they're deceiving themselves and their worship is pointless. Pure, unspoiled religion in the eyes of our Abba God is this: coming to the aid of wisdom of widows and orphans when they are in need, and keeping oneself uncontaminated by this world. Our second reading is from Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, and 21 to 23. In our second reading from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus again rebukes the Pharisees for their legalistic practice of faith. The Pharisees and some legal experts from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. They were eating without first ritually purifying their hands through washing. The Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat without first washing their hands carefully. This is a way of observing the rules handed down by the elders. Upon returning from the marketplace, they don't eat without first immersing themselves. They observed many other rules that had been handed down, such as the washing of cups, jugs, pans, and sleeping mats. So the Pharisees and the legal experts asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders, but instead eat food with ritually unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He wrote, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human words. You ignore God's commandment while holding on to the rules created by humans and handed down to you.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside of a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person. It's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from the inside and contaminate a person in God's sight." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. And I said to Bob this morning, I said, "Thank you for reading today." And he said, "Yeah, thanks for the long reading." I promise it's not out of spite, Bob. Our media song today comes from Philip Phillips and the Jerusalem Youth Chorus. This is "Home."
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. Although this way is this place your home.
is the name of your group?
We are the Jerusalem Youth Chorus, a group of Palestinians and Israelis. We believe through music and through working together and talking to each other, we are taking a step forward into building that amazing future where there is justice and there is freedom and there is equality and there is inclusion.
What would you do with $1 million if you would win?
We will create more spaces just like these choruses so people can meet people that are different from them so we can create this change.
I had my goosebumps a little bit. It sounded beautiful. You're harmonizing together. It was incredible.
I got those same goosebumps. This is a world anthem. We all live on this planet together, and thank you so much for appearing on that stage.
Spectacular, heartwarming. The voices are amazing. It was inspiring. I mean, what a treat.
I love this audition. You made something very complicated, beautiful through friendship.
Would you like to start the voting?
I most certainly would with a yes.
Yes!
Yes!
You get your fourth yes from me!
That was really good.
Beautiful.
Yeah, powerful.
Let me tell you something. You guys symbolize so much for so many right now. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Hi, friends. Will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So sometimes when I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed, I see people post political opinions, and then I see their friends commenting on posts getting all upset because the original post doesn't match their opinion. Does anybody else have friends like this? We yeah. And then I've even had a person private message me saying how wrong I was for having a particular opinion and how I should be ashamed of how I feel about things. People inevitably end up getting into these angry, politically charged arguments on social media when the world would be so much more peaceful if people would just keep scrolling if they don't agree with something. You can so easily unfollow people on Facebook or choose not to see their posts. And it got so bad during the 2016 election cycle that my dad took Facebook off his phone and just chose to avoid Facebook altogether. But at some point, social media, which we intend to use to keep up with our friends and our loved ones across time and time zones and countries and things, ends up being a hotbed of hostile and dangerous and potentially misinformed debate. At some point, our mental health has to take precedence over our need to be right, doesn't it? Or are we really just trying to get little highs over our ability to shut down the other side and this sort of might makes right sort of arguing? At some point, we have to know when enough is enough and when we need to replenish our energy. But one of the big things I'm going to talk about today is a theme that weaves through both of our texts. I'm mostly going to zoom in on the gospel, but the verse that's been buzzing around in my head all week is actually a verse from James. The reason I used the Inclusive Bible, over some of the other translations that we often use is how it renders verses 19 and 20. And I want you to keep this in your mind. It says, "Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to anger." And here's the best part. "For God's justice is never served by our anger." For God's justice is never served by our anger. I want you to keep that in mind as I share this message, and I'll circle back and talk more about that. So many of the Pharisees back in biblical times might have benefited from such a lesson. It's tempting to view many of these Pharisees as one-dimensional characters who wait around ready to pounce on Jesus and his followers for doing things that they think are wrong or are against the teachings that they've been handed down, you know, kind of like those commenters on Facebook. Not every Pharisee was like this, of course, but a lot of them were. But more than just being one-dimensional characters, it's important for us to remember that the very existence of Jesus gave the Pharisees reason to fear. Many psychologists agree that there's a powerful link between anger and fear, and that one so often fuels the other. So when we feel threatened, when something changes the equilibrium of our lives, it's natural to respond with some kind of hostility. Many of these Pharisees have ascended to power and leadership positions over long periods of time, and thus they think they have it all figured out. They think they know all there is to know. The status quo and the way society is organized benefits them, and they think they've earned it. And also, I want to add that sometimes talking about these things can be tricky, and it can go into some anti-Semitic rhetoric, you know, rhetoric that is against Judaism, and I definitely want to say that that many of these traditions that the Pharisees and others are upholding, this is not what Jesus is criticizing. Jesus is talking about the way that some of these religious leaders are prioritizing human tradition over the ways of God. So I really want to make sure that that is clear, that I'm not criticizing cherished Jewish tradition here. I'm saying more that there's that Jesus criticizes the way that it's done, the method of doing that practice. But this isn't about just stroking the Pharisees' ego. The commentator Courtney V. Bugs puts it this way: "Notice Jesus does not condemn the Jewish washing practice, one of many rituals common to their faith identity. Jewish faith food practices helped build community," she says, "and reminded Jewish people of their commitment to live according to God's values. The issue is not with traditions, it's the privileging of human traditions over the commands of God." So ends her quotation. Said another way, in itself, washing our hands before we eat is not a bad thing. Anybody who has had little kids knows how grubby their hands can get, right? And gotta wash your hands before you eat. In fact, we still encourage it in our practices today. But when our practices overshadow the bigger picture, when our culture actively disconnects us from being in community, that's when we have a problem. When we think about the traditions that the institutional church in this day and age has adopted, I wonder what traditions we could come up with that are at odds with the ways of God. Maybe it's our country's obsession with privileging those who are rich and well-educated when so many of us here in places like Waupun struggle to meet our basic needs. Maybe on this Labor Day weekend, we think about workers' rights, and we think about how the long and hard-fought battles of unions have given us many rights that we wouldn't otherwise have. Maybe it's adopting purity cultures for our children when what they really need is to be loved and accepted for who they are. And over again, Jesus shows us that living a life according to God's desires means that we must work towards serving God's justice. God's justice is not served by upholding legalistic interpretations of God's word, because with God, there is always grace. The Pharisees were more concerned with the fact that the disciples were not following purity codes than they were that the disciples were hungry. Now, I'll admit that in the context of the scripture, today's sermon title, saying where rules don't matter, sometimes that could be seen as a little flippant. But I stand by it because I think that Jesus is trying to remind us that the rules we hand down, these purity cultures, can so often disconnect us from the ways of God that we profess. Jesus reminds us that it's only the standards that we set for ourselves that can contaminate us. But here's the good news. The message of Jesus reminds us that the rules made by humanity are less important than the abundant life Jesus invites us into. Indeed, in today's media song, Philip Phillips and the Jerusalem Youth Chorus remind us to pay no attention to what fills us with fear and to what drags us down. Instead, we can find home, we can find love, we can find grace, we can find hope in the liberating teachings of Jesus Christ. As many struggles as people are going through right now, we don't need to be angry at each other for not following the rules. That's not the most important thing we need to be thinking about right now. And I've always been convinced that even if I don't agree with somebody's viewpoint or their politics, that God knows our hearts. God knows all of our hearts, and it's not my place to judge another person. Because as Jesus reminds us, the rules that are set forth by humanity always go in second place to what God desires of us. So may you continue to go to live authentically into what God created you to be, setting aside your judgment of others and focusing on your own spiritual growth. May you get off Facebook if you have to. May you get off social media if you have to continue to live into the community that God calls us to be in. May you remember your traditions and keep them sacred. But also may you know that God is more concerned if you have eaten enough than if you have washed your hands. Amen. So now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's begin by taking a time of silence as we think of the people and situations that are in need of our prayers and love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I have a couple of prayer requests. Diane Thomas reached out to me this week. Her dad, Keith Buwalda, had a heart attack on Sunday morning, and he had quadruple bypass surgery at St. Mary's in Madison this week, and he had some complications in recovery. So for Keith and for Keith's medical team, God in your mercy. And also thanksgiving for the service of Chris and Mark. As you know, Chris Matheson and Mark Lienhard ended their service with us as of today, actually. They cleaned the sanctuary for the last time the other day. And we surround them with our gratitude. We surround them with our prayers as they make the move to Two Rivers. So for them and as they enter into this new chapter of their lives, God in your mercy. Any other prayers today? Okay, yeah, Alana's coming with a microphone. Thank you.
All right. Text that I got from my mom this morning as I was walking into church. He looks so much better this morning, and he's talking pretty smart today. Nice progress. They are talking about discharge possibly tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So it was a huge turn in the right direction on Friday afternoon. His chest tube came out yesterday, and it's really, really made a big difference.
Thank you for the update. Anything else? Okay, I'll give you a second to get back and see if there's anything on Zoom. Nope, okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God of grace and love, you remind us of the importance of upholding our traditions and yet not losing the bigger picture. That it is always more important for us to follow you and follow your will for us over the performative human gesture. And we give thanks for the ways that you remind us every week how to love and serve one another. We offer prayers of gratitude for the service of Chris and Mark and offer them our prayers and our love as they go into a new beginning in Two Rivers. We also give thanks for the continued recovery of Keith and for Diane and for their family as they support him. We give thanks for the medical team that has cared for Keith so diligently and for all the work that they do. We also remember the needs of so many in our world, in our backyard, those who face food insecurity, those who face poverty, homelessness, those who are survivors and victims of domestic violence, abuse, and conflict in our own backyard and around the world. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who invited us to continue learning and growing in our faith, and who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give through placing your offering in the offering plate that'll be passed around, and you may also give online at ucc.wapan.net. And while the offering is being shared, this is also your reminder that communion is about to come right after that. So please, if you're at home worshiping with us, gather your communion elements. Prosper the work of our hands, order the steps in our days, and align the balance of our resources. In our time, talent, and treasure, may you be glorified. Amen. Please be seated. We rejoice in sharing Holy Communion together. We remind ourselves and each other that this table is not our table. It does not belong to us, but it belongs to Christ, because Christ is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether you are a member of this church or a member of this denomination or not. We give thanks for the ways that Christ's liberating love invites us all to gather in and gather close. So let us be in a time of sharing. The Holy One be with you. Open your hearts to the One who is love. Let us give thanks to God, our life breath. With gratitude, O God, we remember that it is through you that we are made truly alive. Every creature and creation, the tiny ones, the scaly ones, the human ones, the leafy ones, all that is has been shaped by you. There is nothing on this earth that has not been touched by your sacred hand. In your love for us, you claim us individually and as a whole, as your beloveds. You will for us life abundant, and you invite us into co-working with you towards a world where harmony among all life is restored. And yet, daily, we turn away from you and one another. Destructive and divisive powers lure us away from connection and relationship. We forget that we need each other. We pretend that our lives are not deeply entangled. When injustice threatens our neighbors, we too easily cower or hide, like those who turned on Jesus when things became too difficult. We too are tempted to desert those most vulnerable, but you do not abandon us to our fear or sin. In the life of Jesus, love enfleshed, We are shown that the invitation to join in your work of transforming and healing and restoring is always open, no matter our past, no matter our regrets, no matter the wrong done to us or the wrong we have done to others. You keep calling us back to you. This relentless invitation of yours that entices with freedom and joy and forgiveness is such a threat to empire that it still attempts to crucify every incarnation of your love today. And so we are reminded of the example given to us of the person of Jesus. On the night of his arrest, he gathered around a table with his companions. He took bread. He blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after they were finished eating, he took a cup, poured it out, gave it to them, and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, given for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." Every time you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of the one who never gave up on love, we pray that the Spirit would make us one in our commitment to the liberation of all of your creatures and creations. Pour out your Spirit on this bread and this cup, that through these ordinary gifts, we might taste a glimpse of your kingdom, Holy One. May they be for us a reminder of what we are capable of becoming when we are capable of, and what we are capable of accomplishing together. Amen. As we share the elements, we'll be singing hymn number 699, "Let Us Break Bread Together." And as you share the elements, you may come up, come forward through the center aisle, and there are elements on either side, and the bread is gluten free. There's gluten-free bread on this part, on this table. Is that correct, Penny?
Yes,
good. Gluten-free bread on this table, gluten bread on either side. And then you may return to your seats by way of the side aisle. So let's sing together. Come, for all things are now ready. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer after communion. God, we give you thanks for this meal that nourishes us, body and soul. May it sustain us as we confront evil that keeps us from living the lives that you intend for us and for all your creatures and creations. Until every life can be lived abundantly, be our guide, be our hope, be our comforter. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 373, Change My Heart, O God. And this is a newer one for some of us. It's one verse and we'll do it twice through. So since it's a newer one for some of us, Alana, can you keep my microphone on and we'll sing it together. So please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Let us read together our mission and vision statements. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example while seeking God's blessings on our lives and our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all, through love and a commitment to Christ. Now, my friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place, remembering that Christ clarifies your mission. Your mission is to love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And while others may want you to abide by their rules, Christ's mission leads to liberation, love, and comprehensive well-being for all. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.